Stardate February 14th, Galileo and Copernicus. Stay with us.
Stardate is presented every night at midnight on WUSB, Stony Brook.
We've got two important birthdays to celebrate. Today is the birthday of Copernicus, and tomorrow is Galileo's birthday. We owe our modern-day perception of the universe to these two men. Before the time of Copernicus, scientific theories claimed that Earth lay rock still in the center of the universe. The sun, moon, and stars were thought to revolve around the Earth, and their motions were explained by a complicated scheme of circles on top of circles. Copernicus reappraised the old system and developed a model in which the Earth revolved around the sun, not vice versa. The idea was so unorthodox that Copernicus couldn't get it published until the year of his death, 1543. It's said he saw his book for the first time while on his deathbed. Well, 2 decades later, Galileo was born. He was the first to use a telescope to gather evidence in favor of the Copernican theory. Today we know that the universe extends far beyond our own solar system, far beyond even the great Milky Way galaxy in which our sun is but one of billions. But in Galileo's time, no other universe was known except that which could be seen with the naked eye. With his crude telescope, Galileo broke through the boundaries of the medieval universe. He discovered a multitude of fainter stars whose existence had never before been imagined. Together, the telescopic discoveries of Galileo and the sun-centered model of Copernicus laid the foundation of our modern cosmology. Stardate is written and produced by Deborah Bird for the University of Texas McDonald Observatory. We're in Austin, our zip is 78712, and we welcome your cards and letters with questions on astronomy. Thank you for being with me. I'm Joel Block.
Saturday, February 14th, Valentine's Day. Stay with us.
Blind Date is presented every week at 12:02 on WUSB, Stony Brook.
On this date in 1609, the first blind date was made. Copernicus called up Galileo and asked for a date, and Copernicus, being of the Cupid persuasion, said yes. They met over at Copernicus's place and spent the evening looking through Galileo's new looking glass, dubbed the telescope. They discovered by pulling on the objective of this new invention, the looking glass became erect, enabling the viewer to spy on his undressing neighbors. And that's how Copernicus and Galileo first met, over wine, the Milky Way, and Aldebaran, Copernicus's neighbor. Blind Date is written and produced by Deborah Canary. It's a production of the Burger King Observatory at the University of New York at Stony Brook, zip 11794. We welcome your card and letter. I'm H&R Block.
Yes, folks, Radio Free Long Island is on the air. Good evening to you all, and welcome. Radio Free Long Island is back on the air.
On the air. Am I on?
You're on. He's Mike Uhas, and I'm Eric Corley, and it's 19 minutes after 12 o'clock.
Once again,
and we've got quite a show for you this week.
For sure.
A lot of things have been happening.
I can't hear myself. I'm going to get some headphones.
Well, it's probably because you don't have headphones, yes.
I'm going to go get some headphones, Eric.
Well, while Mike is going to get headphones, let me just tell you some of the things that have been happening tonight. It's been an exciting night here at the studios. The newsroom has been hopping. We have some late-breaking stories for you regarding exploding sewers and guardian angels and all sorts of other things. We'll keep you up to date. We have some exclusive live interview. Well, they're not live anymore, but
well,
they were
dead,
at one
yeah.
point.
Live
interviews.
I got my headphones.
You've got your headphones.
It's probably just as good. I don't think I was worth listening to anyway. Right?
Well, now at least you can hear yourself and know what the problem is.
Right.
Only kidding. All right, we have all these things for you. We will have some live interviews later on of sorts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We'll try to arrange them.
Right.
We've got all sorts of other things. We have Sidney Schreiber somewhere out in Long Island. He's going to be interviewing some Long Island
He's a new addition to Long Island.
Oh, yeah, yes.
Radio Free Long Island.
I guess I should have introduced him. He's
he'll be here later.
He'll be here later on, and he can talk to us about some of the people out there.
Well,
maybe it's some of them like you. He goes to places without even telling us.
Where's the story, the Louisville story? I'll read it.
Oh, you want to read the Louisville
story?
Okay.
Okay, it seems that the series of explosions south of Louisville's downtown section around 5 o'clock this morning could have been triggered. It could have triggered an accumulation of flammable...
Bye. There was a bye left out of that story.
Okay.
I meant to tell you. That's why I didn't want you to read it, because I'd already... Okay.
Start again from the top. The series of explosions south of Louisville's downtown section around 5 o'clock this morning could have been triggered by an accumulation of flammable industrial solvent. The explosions rumbled through the sewers, leaving parts of some streets smashed and causing millions of dollars worth of damage. There were huge potholes, some display windows were shattered, and some walls and ceiling were cracked, and 4 people were injured. And it goes in to say that the Metropolitan Sewer District was looking into the possibility that the solvent hexane, a volatile liquid hydrocarbon, might have leaked into the sewer system from a mill of the Ralston Purina Company's soybean division. So we have some live, well...
It was live when we were talking to these people. We got through, we contacted some folks down in Kentucky, find out really what's going on
down
there.
The first one we're going to hear from is a fellow in radio station WHAS. Almost sounds like my name.
Mike Uhas, W-H-A-S.
W-H-A-S.
W-H-A-S, okay.
W-H-A-S.
Your pleasure? W-H-A-S-es. Oh, no.
Double your pleasure, double your fun, W-U-S-B.
Okay, who is this person that you're talking to now?
Forgot his name. Isn't that terrible?
Well, he's a newscaster, I believe, at WHAS.
Yeah, he's one of the reporters of Action 11 down at Louisville, Kentucky. And he'll say his name at the end of this tape.
Okay, let's give it a listen.
There was a series of explosions in about a 15-block area of Louisville, which is near downtown Louisville.
Mm-hmm.
This morning, the series of explosions came shortly after 5 o'clock this morning in the sewer system. It put holes, crater-like holes, some as deep as 25 feet and at least one or two as long as about 200 yards. The streets are caved in those areas. Blew chunks of the pavement into houses and storefronts and caused a lot of damage. Went through people's roofs and knocked holes in the side of the buildings. A lot of people are being evacuated from that area tonight, mainly because their sewer system could back up. There's no further danger of any explosions. The Metropolitan Sewer District here in Louisville has pretty much determined that the explosions were caused by a volatile substance in the sewer system. That substance is a chemical called hexane. Hexane is used to extract certain things from certain products. They think that it may have come from a Ralston Purina plant here in Louisville. Last night the Metropolitan Sewer District was called to that Ralston Purina plant at about 2 o'clock in the morning to check out a problem there where an overflow tank containing hexane did overflow and some of it did dump into the sewer system. And they think that may be the problem. They haven't definitely pinpointed it yet, and they're not pointing the finger at Ralston Purina, definitely yet. But the Metropolitan Sewer District here has gone to the circuit court here and received an injunction against Ralston Purina, which prevents them from dumping any other type of waste at all into the sewer system. That injunction also gives them, or it prevents Ralston Purina from doing anything to the records from last night that they were keeping. And it also gives the Metropolitan Sewer District the authority to conduct a full-scale investigation. That's pretty much the situation right now. There were just a few injuries. Luckily, it happened at a time of day when there weren't very many people on the streets. And that's just a very lucky thing. If it would have happened maybe an hour and a half or 2 hours later when people were beginning to go to work and rush hour traffic was just getting started, then it could have been a catastrophe. But luckily it happened early enough that that didn't cause that much of a problem.
Oh, I see. And you say you had manhole covers flying like Frisbees.
Yeah, that's pretty much the way some people described it. Felt a big rumble and saw fire like shooting through his windows, and something threw him up against the wall, and he hit the floor, and the next thing you knew, he had a huge hole in his ceiling and a huge hole in his wall that came from a pavement being blown up off the street and through his ceiling and through his wall. At least one case, a manhole flew through a lady's roof and caused a lot of damage to the home there. So it's pretty extensive.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah, it kind of looked like an earthquake is the general consensus of most people. The damage, an earthquake, or it looks like somebody flew over here with some bombs and plastered the place.
Wow. Phew.
It's basically about a 15-block area of Louisville, near downtown Louisville, but not right in the downtown area. But it is a neighborhood that is near the downtown Louisville area.
Right. Okay, and your name is?
My name is Rick Redman.
Thanks for calling, then.
Uh-huh. Did we call you?
No, not really.
Okay. I was just spazzing through it, so they said somebody wanted to talk to someone here. So, all right, thank you.
Okay, thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Oh, boy, they're having fun down in Louisville tonight.
Louisville,
as they say, what did they say, Woolville?
Louisville.
Yeah, something like that.
Louisville.
I couldn't understand, you know, when he said that at first, what I thought it was a different town he was talking about.
Louisville?
The way they talk down there is so different, I guess.
Well, now, what was that guy's name?
Rick. I didn't even remember.
Oh, well.
Passed right out of one of my ears, but I'm sure some of our listeners will have written it down already. You want your...
Yes.
Oh, you want me to open up the window?
Yeah.
See what the weather's like outside.
Sure.
Wow, interesting. It's we seem to have a little bit of inclement weather right now.
Inclement? Inclement? Incumbent weather.
As we say up north.
Yeah.
But anyway, they do seem to be having quite a lot of fun down there. Now, the sewers, let me see if I understand this correctly. All throughout Louisville, or is it just one particular
part?
Apparently
it was just limited to some... one 15-block area near the downtown section.
And the whole sewer system just suddenly...
kind of blew up in a series of
against the system or something.
Right. I've become an expert on this in the last half hour.
Well, we just read about the story a little while ago. And,
yeah, when did it come over the wire?
It actually happened this afternoon.
This morning at 5 o'clock.
This morning while we were all... I guess you were up.
Hey, we said that in unison. That was pretty good.
We can never do that again.
This morning at 5 o'clock.
It sounds stupid now.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
5 o'clock in the morning, the sewers blew up in Louisville, and what were you doing at that time?
I was asleep.
You were asleep? I probably was, too. Very interesting.
So now, this fellow alluded to that the whole cause of this was the Ralston Purina plant.
Now, that's what I don't understand. How does a dog food company make sewers blow up?
Well, not
what
only,
are we going to try to answer
Not
tonight?
Only dog food.
Cat food.
Any animal food, and if you listen carefully, there are animals in the background there.
Are there?
Yes. You can hear the sheep.
The sheep.
You could before. They are coming.
What are sheep doing in Stony Brook? That's where I went. Okay, well, Mike thinks he hears sheep. We won't...
Did you hear that?
I hear sheep. Okay. Mike is right. There are sheep.
There's sheep right near me. Right, not too far from where I live in Fort Jeff. And the phones are lighting up.
Phones are lighting up as
why don't we get to this other telephone call? I called up the gentleman from Ralston Purina.
Okay, well, and we try to put the finger on him and try to make him confess as to what exactly they're up to and what they're doing.
Yeah.
Let's see if you crack this cookie here.
We're waiting on these guys. Calling up the Ralston Purina office. Main office in Louisville, Kentucky. Hi, my name is Mike Uhas from radio station WUSB in Stony Brook, New York. We hear you folks had some explosions down there this morning, and various reports are attributing it to Ralston Purina. Is there any way you can comment on this?
No, sir, I really can't, Mike. The folks that could do that are not here.
I kind of figured as much. It is kind of late.
It's almost midnight here.
Yeah, it's almost midnight here, too.
Midnight
midnight everywhere as far as the two of us are concerned.
Yeah, I guess so.
They've retired for the day.
For the day. Okay, and well, what's your name then?
I'm just an employee here.
Just an employee there.
That's all we could get out of him. I don't know, I think he was holding back some vital information there. But the Ralston Purina Company in, where was that, Louisville?
Louisville, KY.
So that was the center of all the controversy today.
Well, apparently. Now, I guess it should be noted that it hasn't been proven at this point that Ralston Purina Company was the cause of today's explosions.
No, it has not been proven, and we're not trying to blacklist the company or anything.
For sure.
We wouldn't want to do that. After all, what would our cats and dogs eat if we did do something like
that's
that?
That's exactly correct.
It is interesting, though. It's not an everyday occurrence that a dog food company is accused of making sewers blow up in a major city. It just seems like a somewhat unusual
event. It is somewhat
event.
Unusual.
And I'm happy that we're covering it. That's what Radio Free Long Island is here for, to bring to you the important news stories.
As they happen.
Now, the question I was asking is, could something like that happen here? Could our sewers one day blow up for no reason whatsoever? Excuse me.
Open the window again. I closed
the window, yeah, okay.
It's hot in here. What does the temperature say?
Well, the temperature out there is 25 degrees, and I can't figure out why it's raining if it's 25 degrees outside, but it's 73 in here.
See? Well, that's why, because it's...
Oh, you average out the two temperatures in the middle...
Right.
Oh, okay, I understand.
Right.
All right, it seems to be getting kind of wet in here. Let's close it a little bit.
Okay, fine. We do need the fresh air, though.
Yes. So we talked to Ralston Purina and the...
Just an employee.
Just an employee.
Right.
No names, nothing. And we talked to a reporter at WHAS in Louisville. I'd like to talk to some more people. Maybe we'll get to that a little bit later.
WHAS.
WHAS. Oh, boy. There are the sheep again.
And that's my name.
We have other...
No, I'm just a single WHAS, though.
Fortunately. We have other stories we're working on.
You know what I found very interesting today?
What's that?
Finding out that you went to the same elementary school that I did.
Okay, all right. You decided to bring that up on the radio. We did discover that we went to the same elementary school. I only went there for 1 year.
Yeah, well, I was there for six.
You were there for six. Okay, you served full-time. I only went there for 1 year. Can we say the name of the school?
Sure.
There? Okay. You
Scraggy Hill Elementary School.
Okay, I feel silly saying it, though, so you can say that.
Well, it's because you were only there for a year.
Yeah, I was there.
Can you imagine that we were in the same building at the same time and we didn't even know one another back then?
I think that was fortunate.
I was probably one of the brats that used to pick on you guys.
Well, you were, you were grade above me, only in, in grade.
In grade, yes.
Right.
As opposed to classification.
Exactly.
And title.
That is interesting, and the thing is, you can probably live out your whole life and not know something like that. If we didn't happen to be talking about the fact that...
How did we...
I have no idea what made us...
I asked you when you moved to Stony Brook.
Stony Brook.
And you said you've been there for about 11 years, right?
About that, yes, and then before that...
He's been living in the same dorm the whole time. No.
Don't want to uncover
anything. Before that, you said you lived in Port Jay.
Port Jefferson, the beautiful town of Port Jefferson. Located just to the east of Stony Brook here.
No, just to the east of Setauket. Just to the east of East Setauket.
Well, a little bit to the east of... Yeah. It's in the easterly direction of Stony Brook. We all know that.
We're just giving the folks who are listening and are quite bored in Connecticut a general Long Island geography lesson. Yes.
Okay.
Well, anyway, we just... I said, well, did you ever go to school there? And he says, yeah!
Of course I went to school here.
So we
can't get away with not going to school.
We had some of the same teachers.
Mm-hmm. We did have some of the same teachers. You had the one of the teachers I had, right?
Right.
I don't want to say names on the air.
No, I wouldn't want to mention it.
I don't want to incriminate
his name.
People.
Well. Yes. But that was an interesting kind of piece of...
news. Yes, and it certainly was interesting for us. Probably not for you, but that's not
relevant. What we're doing is we're weeding out our audience right now.
We're only getting the people that can identify with what we're saying now.
Yes, that you, in fact, did go to Port Jeff, Scraggy Hill Elementary School.
Ah, it's really coming down now. Look at that.
It sure is. Wow.
I didn't close the windows in my car. Do you realize that?
Oh, jeez. You know, I was...
Which was kind of stupid.
It was really kind
of funny. Degrees.
The other day, it was really windy. I told you about this. I was walking through the parking lot, and I saw that your trunk was open.
My trunk has a tendency to do that. It likes a little air now and then.
I'm just tooting along. This guy parked right near me, and his trunk lid was open. Blown open by the breeze.
So you actually had the gall to walk up to my car
and shut the trunk.
Shut the trunk.
Uh-huh.
My car has not been the same since.
Well, it hasn't been the same prior to that either.
Well, my car is just not the same period. So anyway, we have some interesting things coming up tonight.
We have Bunky and Spunky.
Bunky and Spunky are here, and
they're through the miracle of audio tape.
Audio tape. They were here, and we have an episode of the Bunky and Spunky show.
Right. I think their topic is blasting caps.
Blasting
today.
Caps. What an interesting topic. I was just talking to somebody about blasting caps today. In fact.
Yeah.
We're going to go out and find a few.
It could be. That may have triggered the explosions in Louisville.
Blasting caps. You may have something there, Mike. Blasting caps might have done it.
Mm-hmm.
Not the Ralston Purina Company at all.
It could have been Bunky and Spunky.
Bunky and Spunky. Well,
okay. Time to
find out what we're talking about.
Time to blacklist Bunky and Spunky.
We've got some other interesting things coming your way. As we said, Sidney Schreiber is right. I hope he's not getting wet out there.
Well, maybe it's not raining down in Hop Hog.
Did he tell you where he was going?
Yeah, he said he was going to be down by Vets Highway.
Oh, wow.
We're going to have a live remote from Sidney Schreiber.
Okay, that should be coming in almost...
In the next few minutes.
Yeah, very soon. We also have stories for you on the Guardian Angels in New York. Some very interesting developments happening over there.
Right. Today's their anniversary.
Today is their... Well, it was their anniversary.
Well, Friday.
13th.
Since today is actually Saturday.
Today's Saturday. Hey, Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day.
Hey, happy Valentine's Day to all you folks out there.
Blind date.
And we also have, I believe, a program called Firing Squad coming your way. That'll be coming up in a very little while. So stay tuned to Radio Free Long Island.
Don't feel it, drop, drop. It's gonna feel it. You
was, who was that? That was the Selector.
Those were the Selector, yeah.
Those were the Selector. I like the dead version better than the live version myself.
Well, this is a dynamite album, really. It's an album called Dance Craze, and it's got all the ska bands.
Bad Manners, the English Beat.
English Beat, the Special, Selector.
Madness.
And the Body Snatchers, which is sort of a new one. And they have a song on there. It's really nice. We'll play it a little later, maybe.
Say, did you know the Barometric Pressure?
Hey, we played two songs in there, non-coincidentally, about pressure. We played The Clash, Pressure Drop, and
right.
An old cover, and Too Much Pressure by The Selector. And now we have a story about air pressure.
What a coinkydink. The barometric pressure in Albany, Binghamton, and New York City went to record highs yesterday, that's Friday, posing a remote threat of an implosion. That's an inward explosion of windows in tightly sealed homes and other buildings. The pressure at Albany reached 31.12 at 10 a.m., breaking a record of 31.10 set in 1920 as a massive high-pressure system tracked over the northeastern United States. Mm-hmm.
Fascinating.
In New York City, the barometric pressure went to 31.08 shortly before 9 a.m., breaking a record of 31.06 set Christmas Day 1949. The barometric pressure measures the presence of the atmosphere, usually in terms of the height of a column of mercury. So,
fascinating. And that happened today. We didn't even know about it.
Well, I started getting a headache. I could feel all this pressure on my brain.
Really?
Yeah.
I was inside all day. Well, no, actually, I was outside all day, and I didn't feel any
Well,
pressure.
I was inside, and that's probably why.
That's very interesting.
Let's see
so
what
the air
here.
Pressure...
Let's
hear some more then.
In Binghamton, the Binghamton reading was 31.03, but Thomas Morgan, a meteorologist with the U.S. Weather Service in Manhattan's Rockefeller Center, said the readings indicate that there is a lot of cold air at low level, which means a heavy, heavy, heavy downward pressure. He said there's a warmer than usual air aloft extending to high altitudes. See, I don't know anything about meteorological terms. You know who knows? Brienne. She knows a lot.
Brienne.
Yeah, our newscaster. She does news here a couple of days during the week.
You know what day she is? She's morning.
Yes, a couple of mornings.
And she knows about the weather.
Yes,
and
she's...
cosmology and all that stuff.
Right, right. Well, there's more here.
Okay, let's see.
What he says here, it adds up to a very high amount of weight. But he says it does not have a very great significance on the weather.
This doesn't really mean anything.
That's right.
That
so we just deliberately wasted your time.
Except the fact that our windows might fall in on us or some crazy thing like that.
Yeah, but it's interesting to note that what cause could it be raining outside?
I don't know, but there's no way it can be raining right now because the sun has come out.
Yeah, that's true.
Here in Stony Brook. But what I'd like to know is how did the... what causes this? What causes the barometric pressure to suddenly go up? Well,
who knows? It could have been...
It was a very clear day, wasn't it?
Today? I don't know. We don't need this anymore, do we?
No, you can throw that. You can burn it, do anything you want with it.
No, we're not going to burn the station down again.
Again, yes.
Frank did that once, didn't he?
He did, but he's sorry for it.
Okay.
All right, we have some things coming your way. We'll have some news about the Guardian Angels coming up very shortly.
Very shortly.
It's 10 minutes to 1 o'clock, and you're listening to Radio Free Long Island.
It's time now for Firing Squad with William F. Bunkley, the program that makes you think, or else.
The hyperbolic and somewhat antiquated nuances of a paternalistic society lies in the translucidity and overall neoplegic tendencies which convolute internally. For this reason, we have asked Mr. George Stanley of the hardware outlet of Hoboken to appear on the program tonight.
Thank you very much. It's a real pleasure to be here, I think.
Mr. Stanley, in your day-to-day cohabitual encounters with the disenfranchised entity known as the unencumbered masses that propagate freely and openly in our public streets, you surely come across a bilateral disproportion that completely fails to alleviate itself.
How does a working man like yourself account for this?
Well, I don't really think about it all that much. You see, I deal with household appliances for a living, and that's what I'd like to talk to the folks about tonight. Now, the average homeowner is perfectly capable of repairing most major appliances by himself before they become,
Well, I see. I can see, Mr. Stanley, that your hypothesis is undoubtedly polydynastic in style. However, in substance, your argument resembles nothing so much as an amphibious structure lacking polyglycote. Now, perhaps you can explain to us the diversions which an embryonic pseudo-chronastic coagulate manifests upon an individual, such as yourself.
Well, I'll try. Now, let's say you hear a loud knocking coming from your refrigerator motor. A lot of people would just call the repairman without thinking about it.
No doubt an infectious consortium that appears to be transcendent in nature.
Yeah, something like that. Anyway, it's not necessary to do this. With the help of a very handy little device, most repairs can be completed within a few minutes.
I see, a technocratic geothermal triangulate which diverts all dogmatic tendencies into a trinomial lexicon.
Well, we prefer to call it a monkey wrench. And it's quite a handy little gadget, too. Now, let me show you how...
But how does this fit into the realm of psychoanalytic reaffirmation as the working masses strengthen their cohesion and struggle to catch their anemic downtown bus?
Well, I... What? It's not really...
Well, Mr. Stanley, it appears to me that your disassociation with the plebiscite and incongruous deregulation of the...
Do you know what he's talking about?
The tumultuous dissimilitude is heretofore, shall we say, incompatible with the felicitations of the 18th century farmer in the egalitarian hydrosphere.
Listen, Matt, I really don't know what in blazes you're talking about. Now, I'm here to discuss kitchen appliances, plain and simple, nothing else. Is that clear?
I'm afraid it's quite clear that you have no conception of the diatomic linear didactics that lie under the table of molecular desegregation. Obviously, there is no alternative but to circumnavigate your dissolute triumvirate as quickly as possible. Guys!
Hey, well, what the hell are you doing? Where are you taking me? Get away! This is an outrage! Get away!
Next week on Firing Squad, we'll be conversing with
Dr.
Neoplegic on the witticisms of chronastic dichotomy. Won't you join us? Thank you.
For a printed transcript of this program, send $400 to William Bunkley, Post Office Box 44, Sloatsburg, New York.
Everybody, wherever you are, there's a new way of talking, and it's going to go far. You pick the letters and the words, turn them all around, you say the last ones first, then you check out the sound. Talk like this. I know what you're thinking. That sounds strange. Chalk forward so long that it's hard to change. But it's just like metric once you get the drift. You twist your tongue, you give your palate a lift. Take your favorite phrase and you read it in the mirror. You practice that about a half a year. And then straw and Anthony Clack, the imp, the cool. You're a regular talking bass-ackward fool. Talk that way. Talking backwards is sweeping the nation. Talking backwards is a new sensation. You amaze your friends when you start to rap. Don't say pass the butter, say red a bit sap. Red a bit sap, red a bit sap. And if you're out with some girl and she's a little bit shy, don't say I love you, say your evil eye. Your evil eye, and I always will. Now see if that doesn't take off the chill. Talk backwards. You other day, and I was walking down the street. There's this little girl I thought I'd like to meet. I said, excuse me, miss. Where's that tat pig? Big E-roll slapping me on the rod. E-roll tossed him on the bed. And I said, am I getting through to you yet? And she said, you're a gent in the first degree, and I love it when you talk backwards to me. Talk backwards. Can't tell one of these nights, those who talk backwards will demand their rights. They rise up angry and to get a solution in the form of an amendment to the Constitution that guarantees them freedom of reverse elocution. And every TV show that airs, I have to be captioned for the forward impaired talk backwards. Talk backwards. Talk backwards.
Steve Goodman, with a record we should have thrown through the dishwasher before we attempted to play it on USB FM tonight. The song's called Straw Cab Clat, which is talk backwards, in other words. And just before that, of course, was William F. Bunkley. And if you don't want to send your $400 to him, you can send it in care of us here at WUSB, Stony Brook. Well, police say 10 guardian angels and one other person were arrested Friday, yesterday, after a wild melee on a subway train in Brooklyn in which one police officer was injured. A spokesman for the guardian angels says the free-for-all occurred when the group stumbled onto a police stakeout, a story police denied. Details are sketchy, but Transit Sergeant Patrick Kinahan said the incident occurred on an A train between Rockaway and Utica Avenues. He said it appears that the fracas started with an altercation between one of the Guardian Angels, a volunteer group that patrols subways and other portions of the city to combat crime, and a passenger. Well, what do you say, Eric?
We have right now Curtis Lewa on the telephone. He's...
Can I press this button?
Sure. He is the leader of the Guardian Angels. Why don't you close that window?
Oh, close the window. Okay. Sounds like a good idea. Hello, Curtis, are you there?
Yes, how are you doing?
Fine. Eric?
Well, maybe you'd like to tell us, in your words, what it was that happened tonight.
Well, apparently there was a group of Guardian Angels on patrol, a northbound train coming into Manhattan from Brooklyn, an A train, one of the worst trains in the city. And they had gotten on the train at a particular station and were unaware that there was a police undercover unit on surveillance of the train on a stakeout. The train was crowded as it went from stop to stop. And there was an individual laid out on a seat in the last car who it was appeared to be an undercover police officer, playing it off like he was a drunk and that he had money. At that particular point, a regular citizen had gone up to him and had gotten involved with him in terms of trying to take him off, you know, rip him off. The angels interceded. Also, the undercover police officers came running into the car. An altercation ensued because the angels didn't know who the cops were. They were not dressed. They were dressed like citizens, and they didn't identify themselves. And then the police officers pulled their guns out, knocked the angels to the floor, handcuffed 13 of them, paraded them out of the station into a van, and brought them down to a precinct where I could not get any information at the time. I was just stonewalled until I got information from some witnesses and some angels on the scene who indicate that the cops were pissed off because they had blown their stake out. And it was just a matter of... you know, once again, a common situation between Guardian Angels and the transit police, who really do not want us out there to begin with, and have done everything and anything to attempt to harass us and to get us off those trains, and they're not going to stop. They're just going to keep doing it. They've done it since day one, and I don't expect them to stop tomorrow.
Now, it's kind of coincidental that you should suddenly make the news in this sort of a way on your second anniversary. It was 2 years ago, I believe, February 13th, 1979.
Yes, absolutely. I don't think it's coincidental. I think there's a means in everything that happens. There's a reason for it happening. But I'm not satisfied with what took place. It's that simple.
Mm-hmm. What kind of a response have you gotten from non-policemen in general?
The public at large.
Oh, overwhelming support. That's what's kept us going amidst all this harassment and this controversy that's been surrounding us, is the fact that even though many political officials have attempted to knock us out of the box, and the particular police unions have really gone out of their way in trying to indicate that the Angels really shouldn't be even allowed to patrol, it's been the support of the public that's kept us going and is continuing us in our efforts to grow and expand to places like California, Connecticut, New Jersey, Puerto Rico, Long Island, and Westchester.
Could you detail your plans for Long Island? What are you doing here?
Oh, in the process of the Long Island Patrol, there are groups patrolling the Long Island Railroad depots, the malls, because they have so many problems attached to them, and also a street patrol now forming in Freeport, because the problems there are consistently apartments and buildings keep getting broken into during the daytime hours. When the family is either away at work and the children are at school, it's a constant situation that people out in Long Island have begun to just live with and accept, and it shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be that you have to walk away from your house, and every time you walk away, you have to fear that it's going to be broken into.
Now, part of your theory rests on the fact that the police officers have failed to secure any sort of safety from this criminal activity. What do you see as the reason for this? Why have the policemen failed? Why can't they keep the streets safe for the average citizen?
Well, it's not necessarily that. It's just that the people are no longer actively involved as they once were. Originally, the people would always come to the aid of one another 30, 40 years ago. It's quite simply this. The problem lies with the people. It's not in getting more police officers, putting more guardian angels out there, more judges, more prisons. Crimes are being committed now because we've turned our backs on one another. We no longer have the sensitivity that we once expressed for one another quite openly, and in terms of many times coming to the aid of a person in distress or a person whose life was in danger, putting your own life on the line, not necessarily as an individual, but as a group, as a humanitarian gesture. It just doesn't happen anymore, and that's the reason for the problems.
What do you see as the reason why it doesn't happen anymore, though?
Well, we've just gone through an era, the 60s and 70s, of, constant inundation of the I gotta do my own thing principle. I gotta be me. You only go once around in life. You gotta grab the brass ring. To hell with everyone else. No one's gonna look out after number one. And then a series of incidents that were highlighted by the Kitty Genovese case.
Right.
No one hears me. No one talks. No one sees. And it's just been propounded. It's gotten worse and worse, and we really haven't done anything to try to alleviate the situation.
You mentioned before that you're starting patrols in shopping malls on Long Island?
Yes, we have patrols in shopping malls, patrols in railroad depots, and there are also patrols in the street areas of Freeport.
Okay, now how does which malls are you patrolling at this point?
The Roosevelt Mall, Sunrise Mall, and we're expanding out to some malls in Suffolk County.
Oh, you are? Like Smithhaven Mall, are they on the agenda?
Yes, they are.
Now, what do the management of the malls say? They employ their own security people. What do they have to say about your services?
Well, they're not overly impressed. It's like any agency that we begin to deal with. We are the volunteers, they are the paid workers, and many times they express their dissatisfaction in attempting to harass us, but we continue to do what we do because we're doing it for the people. We're not doing it for the businessmen, and we're not doing it for the politicians. We're doing it for the people who have to use this mall.
Could you describe what a guardian angel has to go through in order to attain that role? Now, they don't get paid at all. What other factors do you have for them?
Well, they have to be personally recommended. They have to be physically tested. They have to be interviewed. It's a process of about 2.5 months to 3 months before any decision is made, and it's basically like a closed shop atmosphere. The intention is to get someone who's cool, calm, and collected under fire, someone who's physically capable of defending themselves.
Now, the fellows who were taken away today, yesterday, in that incident, now, are they, I didn't catch that, are they still locked up, or what's their disposition?
Final disposition has not been made. We're still awaiting that.
Oh, so then we really shouldn't be taking too much of your time then.
Okay, well, I'm down here at Central Booking, so we'll see what takes place.
Okay, well, we wish you the best of luck, Curtis, and we definitely thank you for the opportunity to talk with you.
Okay.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Hang in there.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
That was Curtis Sliwa, I believe is the way you pronounce it, the leader of the Guardian Angels in New York, and quite a movement it is.
Quite a movement.
2 years as of yesterday. They've grown tremendously. They started off with about, I think, 7 people throughout the whole city. Now they have hundreds, and they're patrolling places all over the country. Okay, the window's open again.
Okay, so do you have anything else to read?
Well, that's pretty much it on that story.
In case you missed, we are Radio Free Long Island, brought to you over WUSB in Stony Brook, New York. And we don't know what's going to happen next.
We're as much in the dark as you are, folks.
And our lights are on as well.
Well, we do know what's going on now. Those of you who are going to the Ramones concert tomorrow night at Stony Brook, here at Stony Brook, will be seeing a warm-up band. That band is called The Proof, and they have an album out called It's Safe. Let's take a listen to a song from that album. We'll be right back.
90.1 FM. And we're going to be hearing from Jan Hammer, of course, from the Oh Yeah album. We'd like to hear from you. 246-7901 is our number.
USBFM. Time's 1:15, and we are going to have a report from Sidney Schreiber. He's out there in Long Island. I believe he's in Hauppauge, and he'll be giving us a live report, talking to some of the fellow Long Islanders out there on Radio Free Long Island. the Gary Newman and Tuba Way Army. The album's called Replicas, Praying to the Aliens. That was the album that came out before the famous world-renowned Cars, not the album Cars, but the one that contained the song Cars. Gary Newman here on USB.
Of course.
Radio Free Long Island, 20 minutes after 1 o'clock on a Saturday morning.
And you're Eric Corley.
And he's Mike Juhas.
Eating a container of yogurt.
What flavor is that yogurt?
This is lemon.
Lemon.
Yep.
Very good. You know, it's interesting. We were talking about this before. I'm one of the few people around who has not had it fed into his head that yogurt is great. In fact, I'm one of the few last holdouts that say that they can't stand yogurt. And every day my number becomes less and less. I feel kind of endangered. Everybody I know is walking around with a yogurt cup and a spoon and smiling a lot. I can't.
Yeah, well, you don't smile, so you don't eat yogurt.
I guess that's the reason.
Maybe that's the effect. But no, this is. I only started eating yogurt. Less than a year ago, actually.
It happens suddenly, doesn't it? You're walking around one day hating yogurt, and then somebody comes up to you.
Here, try this.
And I tried,
my first flavor was banana yogurt.
And you can't get away.
And it was really kind of decent. Now, you just said a minute ago that you had banana yogurt and you didn't like it.
Right. Well, I guess I was fortunate.
Actually, my favorite is their Dutch apple flavor. It's got little bits of apples in it. And I went to the deli, I bought this.
You hope that's little bits of apples in it. You don't know what that could be. They say it's apples, and you believe them.
Artificial apples. There's probably potatoes or something. But I went to the deli, and I got a couple of containers of yogurt today. I got vanilla, which I ate beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
I guess while we were producing Bunky and Spunky or one of those things. And now I'm on my lemon yogurt.
Go ahead.
I just gave Eric a taste of this, and how do you like it?
Well, let me take another taste. I'll do this on the air so that I can prove to the people.
He's going to slobber all over the microphone.
That's another thing I don't like about yogurt is the fact that it gets all mushy at the bottom like that. It looks disgusting. It looks like something melted, a glob, you know, like a big piece of jelly that has been heated up and is all melted now. It's really disgusting looking.
To you it does, maybe.
Wow.
Is it still raining outside? Open up that window. Get some air in here.
No, it's not. Let me see. No, it's fine. It's clear. I can see all the stars and planets.
Okay,
I see
good.
Jupiter and Saturn and Joel Block is
and
up
Uranus.
There too, looking at all the stars. And you can catch Joel Block on Stardate every night at midnight.
And you can catch
Blind Date every week at 12:02 right afterwards. Okay, I'm going to take a taste of this yogurt right on the air, and hopefully I won't spill it on the microphone. And let me try one more because I didn't go down the right way.
I'm going to eat up all my yogurt.
No, I don't think the chances of that are too great. It's okay. I can say
he's ripping it all over his beard.
I can say right now, after having tasted that it's not that bad, but it's not that great either. I mean, I've had better tasting things than this.
Well, give it back to me. I'll eat it.
Okay, you eat it then. I don't understand why people get into such a.
I had an interesting conversation with
him. State over it.
I had an interesting conversation with the clerk at the deli over yogurt today.
See, that's what I mean. People talk about yogurt. There are things going on underneath their noses, and all they're doing is talking about yogurt.
Well, some people talk about rock pile.
And some people don't. Some people talk about neither.
But no, I picked out two yogurts today, and he says, is that your favorite flavor? I said, no, you don't have it. He says, what is it, banana? He says, that's my favorite flavor. I said, no, banana's good, but I think I like the Dutch apple best, and I really do. And
why is it Dutch? I mean,
it doesn't come
from Holland, does it?
Well, let's
probably it's made in New Jersey somewhere.
No, let's see. What is it? It says Long Island City.
Long Island City.
Long Island City. No, it's actually pretty good tasting stuff.
Are you telling me that comes from Long Island City and it has no artificial anything in it? Explain that one to me.
It says no artificial anything. Sounds like the factory's down Long Island.
That's the yogurt factory right there.
I once took a little walk through Long Island City one day. It was kind of interesting. I was going through all these factories and so on and so forth. But anyway, getting back to this clerk in the deli, why is it people always interrupt me?
Nobody's interrupting you now. You're free and clear.
He said he liked banana. I said I like Dutch apple, and he didn't have it. And he usually gets all the flavors, all different colors, and he just was perplexed at why he didn't have Dutch apple.
Now, A subject like yogurt, I don't think is worth getting perplexed about at all for anybody. I mean, aren't there more important things to talk about than yogurt, for God's sake?
Yeah, well, you know, come to mention
people
it.
People get so upset about it. They had a demonstration in a school. I saw it on the news one day because they switched brands of yogurt.
Really?
What, didn't you see that on television?
No,
big demonstration with picket signs.
I only listened
because
to
the school radio. Cafeteria changed its brand of yogurts, and it was amazing. I mean, cops are coming after the kids, beating them with clubs and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yogurt. It's insane.
Well, you know, let's see. We sent Sid Schreiber out in the field.
Oh, we forgot about Sid. He's been on hold all this time. I'm sorry, Sid. We're always doing things to Sid.
The poor guy.
He hates us.
We are going on to a dissertation of yogurt and the active
cultures.
You see,
that's what I'm talking about. People do these things with yogurt, and they get carried away, and the important things
you
in life,
you
like
had
Sid
it in your
Schreiber, pass them by totally. Okay, we've been talking about yogurt for the last 10 minutes, and Sid Schreiber has been outside somewhere waiting for us to get to him.
Where did we send him? Did we send him down to Hot
Dogs? We didn't send him anywhere. He goes on his own.
On
we
his
just
own
say,
court.
Go out, find some interesting
mm-hmm.
Long Islanders, and he goes out and finds them, usually. Sometimes he doesn't, and we don't hear from him all night long, but he called us back tonight. He's there now, and we're going to...
And now, through the miracle of microwave technology.
Yes, he's out there. And
someplace. Let's see. Let's hit the buttons and see if we can get him going.
Okay, come in, Sid Schreiber. Hello, Sid.
This is Sidney Schreiber on exit 57 of the Long Island Expressway. We came down here tonight to talk to some native Long Islanders and find out how they feel about various things. Now, there wasn't anybody here when we arrived, but our microphone started to attract attention from the passing motorists almost immediately. Anyway, somebody turned to look at us and didn't look where he was going. So before we knew it, there was a 14-car collision right at our feet. And so now there are plenty of people to talk to, so let's go right over and meet some Long Islanders. Good evening, sir. What's on your mind?
Oh, Jack, you started a big accident. It's all because of you guys, you stupid twits. I just got an accident. I just ruined my brand new car. I just got paid.
Well, that's a pretty big dent you have in that Camaro of yours. How did you do it?
I just finished paying off. Get me out of here before I kill you, stupid.
Well, we'll get back to you a little later. How about you, sir? What is your name?
James.
James what?
What?
What's your last name?
That's right.
What's right?
Exactly.
Let's start from scratch. Now, what is your last name?
Right.
What's right?
My name.
Oh, I see. Your last name is Wright. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Mr.
No,
James Wright.
No. You had it right the first time.
I had what right?
That's right.
What is?
Now you've got it.
Listen, guy, I don't like James. For the last time, tell me your last name.
And I'm telling you for the last time, what is my name?
Are you trying to make a farce out of this program? This isn't What's My Line. We're here to meet Long Islanders who have something interesting to say. Now, let me just go to the next question. Do you have a favorite popular band?
Yes.
Well, who are they?
Yes.
Who is your favorite band?
No. Yes.
Who?
Yes.
The band?
No. Yes.
Why don't we just visit with another local Long Islander here? Here's somebody we can chat with. You look like a traffic policeman, is that correct?
That's absolutely right. My name is Officer Krupke. Are you the nut who's responsible for creating this mess here?
I'm not sure I understand, officer.
Well, let me just explain. There's 14 cars all scattered all over the countryside here, and they're totally demolished. And everybody's saying it's because of some bozo standing in the middle of the street waving a microphone. And I just want to say that if that person is you, guy, you better turn down that little thing and come down to the precinct with me and answer a few questions.
I think I know who you're talking about, officer. I saw somebody with a big microphone and a lot of wires go walking up that side road over there.
Where? Up Veterans Highway?
Right over there, behind those trees. You see that?
Oh, yeah. Okay, thanks a lot, pal.
Okay, sure. Well, I think we visited with enough of Long Island citizens for one night. I really should be running along right now, so I'm going to turn you back to the studios. For Radio Free Long Island, on exit 57 of the expressway, I'm Sidney Schreiber. Come on, guys, we got to get out of here. Are we off? Did they turn us off? I think
my mic's still up.
Oh, sorry about that, Sidney.
Sorry, Sid.
We were outside again, talking about something else.
We're getting more yogurt.
Well, it's not that bad, really. It isn't that bad. I'm not going to get hooked on it.
You finished up my yogurt. Now, you
I'm
are
sorry
get
about
hooked
that.
On
I'll buy you another cup. But it was good yogurt.
We're going to order pizza later, too.
We're going to have a ball. It's going to be a great night here at Radio Free Long Island. And, I hope Sidney Shriver gets out of that, okay? He really got himself into it.
We're really sorry about that, Sid.
We should not have him on major highways, I don't think.
Let's put him on the railroad tracks next week or something.
Our program director was probably responsible for that.
Raced Alone?
Probably.
Rocket Raced Alone.
It sounds like
Let's
something.
Let's take him down to Cape Canaveral then.
Raced Alone. Roving reporter and basketball games. That's.
But I guess the big thing going on at that site was all the accidents.
Right. All the accidents. And what a night it is for accidents.
Thank you.
Purple.
Eric Corley's on the loose again.
Deep Purple on...
The dub version.
The dub version of Highway Star off the Machine Head LP. And before that, it was NRBQ, wasn't it?
It was an accident. Oh, babe, it was an accident.
No, we played them on purpose. NRBQ and
oh,
Deep Purple here on USB. And it's 19 minutes to 2 o'clock here on this Saturday morning, the 14th, Valentine's
What's
Day.
What's the temperature out of doors?
Temperature out of doors is 25 degrees.
What's the temperature indoors?
In of doors is... 70.
In of doors. Yeah, I often wondered how come so many people say out of doors when they should be saying outdoors when they can't say in of doors.
It's like, why do people say they could care less and they really mean they couldn't care less? That's bothered me since I was a kid.
That's because
nobody can answer that question.
Yeah. That's when you were a kid back in Scraggy Hill Elementary School.
Scraggy Hill.
Hey,
all the good old days in Scraggy Hill. But I never finished what I was saying. It's 73 degrees inside right now. And
in of doors.
In of doors. Mike, I'm going to put you on the spot. What is that Celsius? Without looking at our conversion chart.
What did you say, 73?
73.
I'd have to say it's close to...
The sound of Mike Uhas thinking. A sound not heard often in the civilized world, but...
Or even in the uncivilized world. I'd say 21.
23. Very close,
23? 23. I was going to say 22.
Uh-huh, but you didn't. And you didn't say 23 either, so it doesn't make a difference.
See, where I work, I play with Celsiuses, and I don't convert them, so...
Celsius is centigrade, whatever.
Kelvin.
It's 73 indoors, 25 outdoors, and why don't we go over the weather for those people who are out there?
Well, why don't you dial that phone number? I'll read the weather.
Okay, you read the weather, but I don't think that's the right weather.
That's the old weather. That's from Bill Lazaroff time.
Okay, Bill Lazaroff time. Well, that was a while ago.
How come this machine is printing in squished type?
It's saving paper.
Saving paper.
By typing over itself, it saves paper. okay, I'll give you the new forecast. And if you
nude forecast.
Get pressed for time, you can read the old one, too, and sort of make a comparison between the two. I'll go outside. We have some updates on the Ralston Purina situation, and we're going to be bringing you some live reports.
Some local reports.
Local live reports.
Right.
Live local wonderful reports. So you get on with the weather.
Okay, and you do that dialing. Well... USB Long Island weather is calling for clear and not as cold tonight, and our lows...
Ooh!
Oh, God.
Eric Corley just hit a new low.
That really hurt that time, guys.
Hey, will you hurry up and come back? Where?
I'm running.
I'm sitting here away from the console. Like it says, clear and not as cold tonight, lows in the 20s, mostly sunny tomorrow and not as cold, high around 40. Or, as the early morning riser would say, temperature highs around 40. Fair tomorrow night, low in the 20s, and the chance of precipitation is near 0% tonight through tomorrow night. And we do have winds, and we are going to have an outlook for Sunday. And it says sunny and seasonable temperatures, high in the 40s, or as Earl would say, temperature highs in the 40s. And now it says here, excuse me, usually I'd turn down the mic if I had to, cough, but since I can't reach... there are no warnings or advisories over Long Island waters at the present time. Now, you wonder how these folks over at the wire service learn how to spell. It says here, there are no warnings.
Okay, Mike.
Oh, you're back.
Yes. I'm sorry to put an end to that fascinating discussion, but we do have a person who can fill us in on the Ralston Purina situation. Hold on one second. Let me see if I can get him on.
Press the button.
Hello, sir. Are you still there?
Yeah, hello.
Hi. Okay. Now, this is concerning the explosion of some sewers down in Louisville, Kentucky, which I believe was caused by the Ralston Purina...
Well, it was attributed to the Ralston Purina Company down in Louisville.
And we are talking to an employee of Jack in the Box in Center Reach, I believe. And, of course, we all know that Jack in the Box is owned by Ralston Purina. So I was wondering, sir, if you might have any information on this or any opinion of your own.
Well, see, I really didn't know nothing about it, really.
So this is really news to you. Well,
let me
sort of go over it for you, then. It seems that there was an explosion about 5 o'clock on Friday morning in downtown Louisville. And they're saying now that the explosion was caused by the Ralston Purina Company backing sewage down into the streets or something, and they didn't tell anybody about this. Now, this isn't true. It's not factual right now, but it's alleged. And you, as an employee, indirectly, of the Ralston Purina Corporation, I was wondering how you felt about such allegations.
Well, I really didn't know nothing about it, and, I mean, I can't really say too much because, I might have my job in jeopardy, you know what I mean?
Of course, we understand that. We talked to an employee down in Louisville, and he didn't want to tell us anything.
Well, if I knew something, believe me, I would tell you, sir, but I do not know nothing at all.
Okay, well, we've appreciated talking to you. It's an employee of Jack in the Box down in Center Reach, Long Island, and thank you for being on Radio
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That was certainly an interesting kind of thing.
Well, we almost found out something interesting.
Now, what did he say? Because I was out talking on the telephone.
He said basically the same thing that the employee of Ralston Purina in Louisville, Kentucky, said, that he didn't know anything.
Didn't know a thing.
Except he seemed a little bit more talkative than...
our gentleman here, our local gentleman?
In Center Reach.
Good.
Center Reach, Long Island, the beautiful town of Center Reach.
Would he give his name?
Well, I didn't ask him for his name, but...
Oh, call him back.
Maybe we'll do that later on, but I think he would have given me his name if I asked it, but he wouldn't really have seen the relevance of it, and...
Yeah, well, even with the guy right. down in Louisville, so...
Well,
like you said,
it hits us all. When the sewers explode in Louisville, we're all affected
right.
by it in some way.
You know, one day over the summer, now this is absolutely true...
For a change.
what are you doing over there, anyhow?
I'm just...
He's just playing
cleaning
over.
Up the place a little bit.
Okay, good. There's some Formula 408 over in the other studio, and you can just feel free to use it.
Now, okay, I'll run and get it.
One day over the summer, I believe there was a hurricane in Virginia's, and it was a beautiful day here, beautiful day on Long Island. But apparently, I was down to the ocean, and there were some really strange currents going on down there. And what was happening, instead of the waves coming in at a 90-degree angle to the shore, they were coming in more like a 15-degree angle. So you could sit in the water and have the waves just carry you down to the other end of the beach, which was really fun. I really got a kick out of it. So while Eric's trying to... Is this going to be something I'm going to be ashamed to play?
I'm back now.
Oh, boy.
No, that was very interesting. Where did that take place?
This was very interesting because I was at Smith Point.
Mm-hmm.
And I had some friends who were at Jones Beach the same day, and they complained. Well, it wasn't really much of a complaint, but they reported the same phenomena on the other hand. Phenomena on the other hand?
Phenomena, isn't it?
Phenomena.
You say phenomena, I say phenomena. But it doesn't
you
really matter.
You say tomato, and I say potato.
You say tomato. Or something like that.
You say tomato and I say potato.
Right. But, okay, that was a very interesting story, Mike. And
well, thank you, Eric.
I was down at West Meadow Beach and the waves were very high.
What, about a foot?
Well, more than that, actually. It was almost like being at Jones Beach. It was during the winter. And I'll tell you something. It's really interesting to go down to a beach in the wintertime.
It really is. I was down to the Port Jeff Beach the other day, and apparently... There's a great, huge problem of erosion down there.
Houses are falling down the cliffs. They will someday.
Oh,
though.
Eventually, yes. Well, of course, it's all part of nature's desire to get us back into the sea. But, well, it's happening all around us. Sorry, Eric, I didn't...
That's okay. You've done it
just when you do that next time, just turn down your mic so you don't have to cough all over long.
Now, wait a second.
He's going to blame it on me now.
I was not the one coughing, and you know that. I want you to confess.
I confess!
Okay. I don't cough on the air, ladies and gentlemen. Ever. I don't sneeze, and I don't belch, and I don't do things like that.
Oh, yeah?
Okay, get the sneeze sound effect and make it seem as if I sneeze on the air. Go ahead, make it a good one too.
Here comes Eric sneezing.
Okay. Now, I suppose that people can sneeze on will. I mean, is that possible?
Absolutely, because you can do it again.
Okay, now
there's absolutely no end to the sneezes this guy can have.
But I can't talk in the middle of the sneeze, can I? Ha! Ha!
Oh,
I
he got me there.
You wrong. Okay, now let's get back to what we were talking about.
Erosion at Port Jeff Beach.
Erosion.
No, apparently it's a terrible problem. It's very terrible because I'm gonna go in one ear now. Okay. I can't do this. I gotta take this headphone off. No, apparently there is a great degree of erosion. There's a 4-foot cliff where there used to be
a shallow
I'm trying to listen to what you're doing over there.
Don't listen to what I'm doing.
Just shallow Tabor into the water, into the sea. But it's very interesting. So I think you have something queued up there. Why are we going to put Bunky and Spunky on? I'm sure everybody out there is waiting for Bunky and Spunky.
Well, yes, we have gotten some calls for that, some complaints, some threats, actually, to put Bunky and Spunky on. I think from Bunky and Spunky themselves, almost. They're interesting people.
Well, what time is it now?
1:51. That's Eastern time.
Well, why don't we put him on at exactly
2 o'clock?
8 o'clock.
A.M. That's not a bad idea.
Turn down my mic for a moment.
Okay, your mic is down, Mike.
Thank you.
That was my yogurt. And you were there is the most disgusting thing I've ever heard on radio.
Oh, no, you didn't hear it because you turned down my mic.
Well,
it came
through my mic.
I'm going to start shooting rubber bands.
Don't shoot rubber bands at me. This is FM radio, your non-commercial alternative, WUSB in Stony Brook. And right now we have something all set for you from Pearl Harbor. And I noticed she's not called Pearl Harbor and the Explosions. That's what the name of the band was. Pearl Harbor and the Explosions.
At one point, right?
Yeah. They're not there anymore. It's only Pearl Harbor now. And they don't say who the band is. And somebody wrote on the back of this album that the backup band is rumored to be The Clash. Or Clash to be the rumor or whatever. Now, they say it might be The Clash behind her. And, well, why don't you listen and find out for yourself. Pearl Harbor on USB. Thank you.
Mark wanted me to play something really, really strange, and so he suggested the Shags.
Even Dracula will be there. It's time for games, it's time for fun. Not for this one, but for everyone. The jack-o'-lanterns are all lit up. All the dummies are made of stuff. By just looking, you'll see. It's just time for beer again. It's Halloween, it's Halloween. All the kids are happy and gay.
Miraculous gong. Okay, you can stop clapping your hands now.
I thought, the Shags are a very, very, very,
very,
very. Yes. it's quite a group. There are no two groups like Left You, Mike.
That's absolutely true.
There are no three, two groups, one group anywhere like the Shags. And
absolutely.
I understand they have a bootleg album now. Is that?
See what happens to the people around here when they
listen
to when they listen to the Shags?
Well, the USB staff is going totally bonkers out there.
Well, it is 2 a.m.
Oh.
And you are listening to WUSB, and we are...
We're Radio Free Long Island, and I'm Eric Corley, and that's Mike Uhas over there.
Oh, no, we have to be legal about it.
Oh, we have to be legal? And then we're WUSB Stony Brook, of course.
Of course, of course. So horses, of course.
Hey, we got
double your pleasure, double your fun.
We can't say that on the air.
USB.
Oh, we can say that. Okay.
What did you think I was going to say? Double U-Hus?
No, it sounded like a commercial to me, and I didn't want to start advertising things on
commercial
the air.
Commercial free, WUSB.
We can say triple USB, too.
Triple USB, and I often
consider... There's a W and a U, follow one another,
double
makes three,
U.
And that's triple USB.
Well, now, coming up right about now...
Is the Bunky and Smokey Show.
Right. And they're going to be speaking about... Blasting caps.
And blasting caps are a very controversial subject. It's been
affecting
us. I know ever since I was a kid, I've been concerned about blasting caps. It's just not the type of thing you approach your parents about and
mm-hmm.
talk and say, Mom, Dad, can I ask you some serious questions
about blasting caps?
They tend to beat around the bush quite a bit. You don't learn it in school. You pretty much pick up your knowledge of blasting caps on the street. And in crowded rooms where people have colds.
Very good.
Okay, keep it to yourself, Mike. Now, blasting caps are it's a very controversial subject. We're not afraid to discuss it here on Radio Free Long Island. For that purpose, we've had Funky and Spunky do a little skit for the purpose of... showing you youngsters how blasting caps aren't the most fun thing in the world to play with. Maybe we should just go right into Bunky and
Spunky.
Well,
let's just go into Bunky and Spunky.
Yes, sirree. I'm glad we're going to school today.
we can learn important stuff and grow up to be good citizens, just like Mom and Pop and Fireman Jim.
Doo-dee-doo-dee-dum-dee-doo. Yummy good fun. Oh, fresh ball. Oh, come on, Josie. You know it's not right to be a litter bug. Now pick up that candy wrapper and throw it in Mr. Trash Can like a good fellow.
Nah, 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 nah.
So long, suckers. He'll be in big trouble someday.
Yeah. Now we better hurry up or we'll be late for homeroom.
And so, Claus, Fireman Jim has taken time out from his busy day to tell you about the dangers of blasting caps. Say hello, Claus.
Hello, Fireman Jim.
Plastic wrap ain't dangerous. Pipe down, Chunky. Not a plastic wrap. Blasting caps.
Hello there, youngsters. Now, see this little innocent-looking thing I've got in my hand? Well, there's death and destruction written all over it. It's a blasting cap.
Ooh.
And if you mess with these, know what can happen?
What, Fireman Jim?
It can blow your hand off, like this. Or your foot, like this. Or your head, or leg.
How about your wiener? So what?
So take it from me, kids. Don't you go off to vacant lots or construction sites, search the ground until you see something that looks like a blasting cap, and start fooling around with it. That's a no-no, and don't put them in your mouth either. So long, kids.
Goodbye, Fireman Jim!
Gosh, that sure was some lecture from Fireman Jim this morning, wasn't it?
Yes, sirree. Say, there's Bobby and Tommy and Susie and a bunch of other kids. Let's join them!
Hi, Hi,
fellas! What's up?
So we're just messing around, talking about math homework and cooking rolls and baseball.
Hey, you guys! You know what I'm gonna do?
What?
I'm going down to the old abandoned construction site to play with some plastic caps!
Don't do it!
Who's coming with me? Spooky and Spooky!
Save the taffy from the suckers! I'm no chump!
Tommy? Tommy?
Tommy?
What's the matter, you guys? Chicken or something?
Brain cats? Cry babies?
That's right.
Let's
go! Oh, no! We've got to stop them!
Yeah, but we better get a responsible adult. It's too dangerous for just us kids. Man, help! Chunky and Tommy and Bobby have gone to play with blasting caps!
You kids, get out of here! Scram!
You think this is a blasting cap?
Nah,
that's just an old penny wrapper!
Gosh, Mr. Grocer Man kicked us out, Mr. Baker Man kicked us out, and Mr. Ice Cream Vendor threw a bucket of water on us! What'll we do?
I know! Let's get Fireman Jim!
Yeah!
Hey, fellas, look here!
Is it?
Yep, a genuine blasting cap!
Gosh, gee!
Let me see if we can find more of them! Yeah, make a big pile!
I don't know, maybe...
What's the matter, Bobby? You some kind of whip?
Who, me? Let's go!
And you say they were going to the old abandoned construction site?
That's right, Fireman Jim!
We can only hope to reach them in time to prevent the tragedy. No, kids, stop. Don't touch those.
What did he say?
It
It's hard to tell underneath all that plaster. He probably wants to say he's sorry, and he'll never do it again. Isn't that true, Junkie?
You kids got off lucky. By now you might have been crossing the River Styx, or shuffling off the mortal coil, or buying the farm, or getting a one-way ticket to the pearly gates, or paying nature's debt, or going to the happy hunting grounds, or giving up the ghost, or going west, or pushing up the daisies, or kicking the bucket.
Spunky saying so long for now. Don't bow to peer pressure. And remember, kids, don't play with blasting caps.
Today's presentation of Monkey and Spunky was written by Keel Stewart and was produced and directed by Mike Juhas, Howie Austerlitz, and Keel Stewart. Our actors were Howard Austerlitz, Frank Burgert, Eric Corley, Joanne Summer, Keel Stewart, Jim Wiener, and Mike Juhas. Thank you, and good night.
And hello.
And good morning.
What time is it, Mike?
2:08.
2:08. I thought, I have to say right now, that was a very frank and open discussion that Bunky and Spunky put on for us about blasting caps. And I hope a lot of you kids out there got something out of it and learned something once and for all about blasting caps. Now, we're a non-commercial station here, and we're not afraid to say these things. Let's make a big pile of those blasting caps. Now, you kids do not want to touch blasting caps or do anything like that.
Make a big pile.
No, we don't want to do that.
Yeah, make a big pile.
So.
Oh, shucks. Well.
What did you think of that, Mike?
I enjoyed it. I
wonder how. Did you learn something? You won't play with blasting caps anymore, I hope?
I have some blasting caps at home, actually.
Well, I hope you'll turn them over to the Salvation Army or something now. And
you tie them to the railroad tracks, and when a train runs over, they go, ba-boom!
You heard it here, folks. A confession on the air. They're coming to get them now, and they'll take over the show.
Well, why don't we just... I wonder if our producer...
Excuse me.
Oh, you just coughed on the air.
I coughed... No, I went ahem like that. It wasn't a true cough. That's a true cough
there,
on the air.
He coughed on the air.
But I
wonder if the producer of that show is listening. And so, if so, we invite him and her to call up.
At the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And see what happens.
It was fun. This fellow I used to carpool with, Howie Austerlitz, and his wife, Keel. I didn't carpool with her, of course, but...
Why, of course? What's wrong with carpooling with them?
Because she didn't work where we worked.
Oh, well, the folks don't know that. I mean, we know that, but, now they know that.
Right. So I guess they're not listening to us because they're not calling us.
No, they're not.
Waiting for that light to light up.
Oh, no, it's just a flicker. Well, they're not there. What can you say?
There they aren't.
They're there. How do you like it?
Let me see. You make some conversation there.
Okay, you see if it's them, and if it is them, we'll probably put them on. And it seems to be somebody that Mike knows. He's got a big smile on his face, and he put them on hold, and now we're going to hear these people on the air. Who are they, Mike?
Well, let's see. That goes like that first, and come in and go ahead.
Where?
Well, you're on the radio.
No, actually, I'm on the carpet.
He's on the carpet.
Oh.
If I was on the radio, it would crush.
You must have done something wrong, Mike. Press that button over there.
Which button?
That one.
This one?
Yeah.
This one.
Good. Are you on the radio now?
Maybe.
Okay, that's better anyway.
Sounds like you're falling asleep.
Yeah, that's because I am.
Oh, I see. Well, how did you like it?
I was very impressed.
Good.
And I'm so glad that you were able to use your outtakes.
Yes. Well, we're gonna compile all of our outtakes and just make a greatest hits of the Radio Free Long Island outtakes.
Mm-hmm.
And there's gonna be plenty from you.
And we'll go down to a street in Greenwich Village and sell them all.
Well, that would
corner.
Be a good idea.
Yeah.
And I know everybody out there, all 50 people listening, will be
50.
Looking forward to hearing more Bunky and Spunky in the future.
50? Hey, that's the greatest estimate I've heard so far.
There will be more Bunky and Spunkies in the future.
I think there are two people listening. No, make that four, because I didn't count you, so
I'm sorry, I wasn't listening. What did you say?
No, there's probably about a total of 4 people listening.
Yeah, but half of them are probably asleep now anyway, so it's all subliminal.
Well, this is Saturday night. Not only that, Friday night, excuse me. Not only that, it's Valentine's Day morning, and you know what that means.
No, what?
I don't either, but I thought if I said that, somebody would figure it out.
I see.
How's the missus?
Okay.
Does she have anything of interest to say?
She's even sleepier than I am.
Oh. All right. Well, then.
Glad to know that you're still thinking of us in the wee hours of the morning.
Yeah, really. Well, it was really fun. So you liked it, did you?
Yep.
And I should actually give a credit to some credit, at least, to Eric for helping put the thing together.
Well, thank you.
He was waiting for me to say that.
Thank you. I've been waiting 5 days.
He's been holding me up against the wall, making me... But, all right, well, so I'll let you go back to sleep then, pal.
Okay.
And for once I can actually say, well, thanks for calling.
You're very welcome.
Okay, take care.
Take care.
Bye, Keel. And remember, don't play with plastic caps!
Bye, Mr. Mike!
Why don't we do something like talking normal voices now, and...
Is there such a thing? Well, why don't we just go straight
to grown-ups out there?
Why don't we just go straight into some music?
Some sophisticated music.
At 2:14 in the morning, you're listening to 90.1 FM, Radio Free Long Island. I'm Eric Corley.
No, you're not.
And I'm Mike Uhas.
Yes, you are.
Sweep Those Blues Away, that's the name of the album, from Guy Van Duzer and Billy Novick. But what do we hear? We heard the Current Events medley, Egyptian Fantasy, The Sheik of Araby, and Panama, all here on Radio Free Long Island. Coming up, we're going to have our
feature of the week of new releases. Every week we get a strange new release, a weird one.
That's for sure. How come this microphone doesn't want to stand up?
It's probably a... That's a better microphone. Okay.
Richard Strange is the name of this guy.
Yeah, Richard Strange, and he certainly is strange.
Who did we have last week? We had Ian North with My Girlfriend's Dead.
Yes, an album called My Girlfriend's Dead, with a very interesting album cover, and album back for that matter. This also is
Yeah, well, you know, when you say album cover, it includes front and back.
I didn't know that.
In the generic sense, yes.
I thought...
That's William F. Bunkley.
I thought album cover was just the front, and the back was the...
Well, they're all wrong when they say that, obviously.
What? I don't know what the back was called, but I guess that doesn't matter anyway.
The back was the same as the front. No, it wasn't either.
The back was different.
Yeah, the back was different. It showed...
She was alive on the front, and she was dead at the back.
Yeah, she was very pale.
Very pale, and that's the name of the album, My Girlfriend's Dead. I think there was a title song, too, which we heard. Right now, though, we have Richard Strange. What's the name of this album, Mike?
The Live Rise of Richard Strange.
And what's the name of the track that we have already?
The Phenomenal Rise of Richard Strange.
That's the name of the song that we're about to hear.
Right, now let's
or
see.
Or quote-unquote song.
Let's see, can we... this was recorded live in New York City. Can I tell them where?
Sure.
Hurrah.
Well, go ahead and tell them where.
Hurrah.
Are you through with your cheers? Okay.
That's where it was recorded.
Oh, it was recorded in a place called... Okay.
On September 24th of 1980.
Not too long ago.
And it was engineered by Julian McBrown. And it was mixed at the Song Shop by Strange and McBrown. And the cover photo, that's the front cover, because there is no back cover.
Well, now, wait a second. Okay, but the cover includes the back, even though there are words on it.
But they didn't take a picture of the words.
Well, they sort of photostated it and printed it. That's a picture in a sense.
But they don't give credit to the folks who do that.
Yeah, that's
really
a shame. They should.
Printers are an honest bunch, and
They do so much and get so little recognition.
I would like to know. I would like to know who it is that actually makes up the material that an album sleeve is made out of. There must be some big corporation somewhere that makes those.
There's a whole bunch of beavers up in Canada chipping up trees.
I'd like to see that written on the back of an album, too. Listen, before we get into this Richard Strange stuff, I'd just like to sort of voice a personal complaint on the air, if I may.
Uh-oh, it's about me. I'm going to turn your mic down.
No, it's not about you.
Oh, okay.
It's not about you, and even if it was about you, that's improper censorship, and it's a federal offense. You could be locked up in a...
It's not a federal offense. It's within my First Amendment rights.
To shut somebody else up is within your First Amendment rights?
That's right.
Okay, well, whatever. It's not directed at you in any event.
Okay.
It's directed at our chief engineer, Mr. Frank Burgert, who I hope is out there. We're very upset with you, Frank, because Frank told us that this... Are you quite finished?
Yeah, I guess I am.
Okay.
You're telling me I'm finished, so that's... must mean I'm finished.
Yes, I put this revolver at you.
Unfair censorship, that's what I call it.
Now, Frank told us that this pizza place was open until 4 o'clock in the morning, and we just called them, and they're closed. And so now we're sitting here, we're starving to death. We don't have any pizza coming to us. We don't have anything. Everything's closed. We're sitting here in the control room, isolated from the world, a world that's sleeping.
All we have is an empty yogurt container.
That's right, and it's a Valentine's Day, too. It's pathetic, that's what it is.
Pathetic.
So we don't know what to do.
Maybe Captain Kirk will bring us something.
Maybe Captain Kirk will.
Ah.
He's been known to rescue us before. If any of you have suggestions as to what we can do, we are really starving to death out here. Give us a call, 246-7901. Save us, please. And Frank, if you're out there, we want to hear from you, too. We've got some things to talk to you about.
Frank, if you're there, call us on the red line.
How about the blue line?
No, the blue line isn't working.
Oh, the blue line looks so much better when it lights up.
That's true, especially if the lights are off.
That's true.
But we're always in the dark anyway.
Well, in the manner of speaking.
Yeah.
Why don't we listen to Richard Strange?
Okay, so what we're going to hear here...
Oh, that's very, very clever.
You like that? I smiled when I said that. What we're going to hear here is the phenomenal rise of Richard Strange.
On Radio Free, Long Island.
New York.
Oh, man, he's there. straight line to the landslide. Tap the water, steps and decide who you are, the slave or master. Watch the races getting faster. Walk a straight line, the road to ruin. You either end up screwed or screwing. Change the tide, it's time for change. New York welcomes Richard Strange.
Take over. I shot off the wax supplies. The editor in chief.
Like that, Eric. Hey, hey, when I say something strange, I mean it. It started off strange. Richard Strange.
Of course.
The phenomenal rise of Richard Strange.
On 90.1 FM.
What was the second song we heard?
On Top of the World.
On Top of the World.
I'm going to try making a telephone call here.
Okay, well...
I'll let you just babble away.
Okay, I'll babble away. We talked to one side of the story that we are talking about right now. The Guardian Angels in... Yes.
Okay.
The Guardian Angels... Right. Okay, you got everything straight? Good. The Guardian Angels in New York, as you may know, are a group of citizens who go around protecting other fellow citizens. And last night, about 10 of them, and along with one other person, were arrested after a wild melee on a subway train in Brooklyn in which one police officer was injured. We talked earlier... to representative from, actually the head of the Guardian Angels, and he told us various interesting things about the organization, how they protect people, and how this instance is actually something that the police have been trying for a long time to try and get them off the streets. Right now we're trying to get in touch with a member of the transit police and get some of the other side of the story. Mike is on the phone right now talking to somebody over there. And
I'm on hold right now.
He's on hold right now. And this is in Brooklyn, too.
Hi. Can I speak to somebody about what happened with the Guardian Angels a little bit earlier?
And while he tries to convince them to let us speak
to
them.
I'm on the radio station right now. Can I put you on here? Okay.
Do they want to go on here? Okay. I'll just tell you then, the spokesman for the Guardian Angels says the free-for-all occurred when the group stumbled into a police stakeout, and that's a story police denied. Now, details are sketchy, but Transit Sergeant Patrick Kinahan said the incident occurred on an A train between Rockaway and Utica Avenues, and he says it appears that it all started with an altercation between one of the Guardian Angels, which, as we said, is a volunteer group that patrols subways and other portions of the city to combat crime, and a passenger. The other Guardian Angels entered the dispute, and then one or two other passengers joined in. And according to Kinahan, he says a city police officer sprained his knee in the incident, and there may have been other minor injuries. He admitted that he's a little confused about the whole thing himself. The leader of the Guardian Angels, who we spoke to earlier, Curtis Sliwa, says his men boarded the northbound train at Euclid Avenue. And unbeknownst to them, he said plainclothes police had set up a stakeout on the train with one officer posing as a drunk. Now, Sliwa says the angel saw a passenger try to harass and rob the quote-unquote drunk. and grabbed the passenger, threw him to the ground. At that point, Slaros says, police poured onto the train. Now, he says the first undercover cops did not indicate that they were cops. Now, there was a fight, and the police came in with their guns and made the angels get down on the floor. He also says, as I see it, and as the other angels see it, the undercover cops were just upset that the guardian angels had blown their cover. Kinahan says, Slaros' story of a police stakeout was not true, as far as I know, unquote. He said the 11 would be charged with assault and rioting. Slaros says he is upset at the charges being filed against the angels and said that those charges are another instance of the police harassment. He says the guardian angels have suffered since they were established, coincidentally, on February 13th, 2 years ago. Now, when we spoke to Curtis Slaros, he said that it was not coincidental that this happened on their second anniversary. He says that the police have been trying to do this to them for quite a long time. He also said, when was the last time someone was charged with rioting? When it comes to the guardian angels, police seem to be pulling rabbits out of a hat.
Rabbits out of a hat.
Mike, what did you accomplish by...
I called up the transit police the transit authority building, and they said, I asked him if I could put him on the air. He says, no, you may not.
In that tone of voice,
huh? Well, basically.
Yeah.
And so then he referred me to another number, which I called up. And they had no information. Apparently, everybody's still down at Central Booking.
They still don't know what's going on.
They apparently still don't know what's going on.
Very interesting. I guess Curtis is still down there, too.
That's where he called us from before, right?
We called him back there, actually. He must have... It must be a...
Then maybe you have the number.
Well, it must be a pay phone.
A pay phone. Figures.
Yeah. I doubt if he's still standing by that pay phone. But
well, we already spoke to him, and we were just trying to fulfill our equal time obligations.
Well, we tried.
We sure did.
Maybe we'll try again in coming minutes.
Do you want to order a pizza?
We can't order a pizza, Mike. The places are all closed.
That's right.
And, well, nobody seems to be able to come up with a suggestion as to what to do. You know, what we could do is go down and raid some of the machines that are in this building.
Okay, do you want to just let... run a tape or something?
Well, we can do that.
Somebody was saying the other day how somebody was running a tape and it was skipping.
Yes, the tape was skipping. That happens now and then. A lot of people don't know that that's possible, but it is very possible, especially at 90.1 FM when you have all sorts of things put on tape. The tape was skipping for a good six or eight minutes, I think. Yeah. We fixed it, though.
How did you fix it?
By giving a good hit on the side.
Oh, really?
That usually does it. After we picked the tape up off the floor, it sounded fine.
Huh. Sure. Sure. I had a record a little bit earlier. Talk backwards, in fact. It was skipping. I guess I should have...
It was skipping frontwards, though.
That's absolutely true. I wonder what would happen if we played that record backwards.
It would probably skip backwards, too.
Oh, you want to do it?
No.
Well, we can play that backwards.
I mean, it may be 2:45 in the morning, but I think there are some limitations.
I suppose.
Even on this end of the dial.
You know, I'm starting to fall asleep. Fall asleep.
Hey, I hope the captain gets here soon and rescues all of us from all this.
Hello, Captain. You know, talking about records and tapes skipping... whenever I hear...
And people skipping. I see lots of people skipping these days down through the halls.
In fact, my secretary skipped out a little bit earlier today. Oh, my boss is probably listening. I shouldn't have said that.
Oh, boy.
She's going to get it now. And I'm going to get it from her. Oh. But,
well, Radio Free Long Island is known for making startling revelations, and we've just made another one.
What were some of the other ones we've made?
Well, this is only our second week on the air, Mike.
Oh, yeah.
So we will make a lot more revelations, but we had a very informative program about blasting caps. We talked to somebody from the Hoboken Hardware Corporation before.
Hoboken Hardware Outlet.
Right, and we were out on the expressway talking to some traffic policemen and other people. So
now getting back to records and tapes skipping.
Okay.
Whenever I hear when I'm ever listening to a radio station and I hear a record skip or go scratching across the surface of the record.
I love that sound. I think that's really, especially on a big, big time commercial station when you suddenly hear that noise.
You mean this noise?
Don't do it to that record.
This one over here?
No, not that one even. You shouldn't do that to any record.
Or the Shags.
No, don't do it to them either. No, you shouldn't do it to record.
No, whenever I hear that noise, I'm convinced that there's people in the control room.
Mm-hmm.
Fighting.
Could be.
Could be.
Could be a lot of things. Could be somebody who just tripped and fell onto a turntable. And that's happened too.
Nudge, nudge. Well, we have about 16 minutes left. It's 73 degrees inside and, about 26 degrees outside.
It's going up outside then.
That's probably because there's somebody standing with a match by our sensor.
Well, the load's supposed to be in the 20s tonight.
One day Eric stuck the sensor in his mouth and it went...
I did not.
Well, I didn't want to say where you really stuck it.
It'll be mostly sunny tomorrow, not quite as cold, at the high around 40. And
temperature highs, as the early morning riser would say.
Yeah, and the low will be in the 20s tomorrow night. Chance of precipitation and stuff like that is near zero. Tonight it'll stay that way through tomorrow night, too.
And what's the outlook for Sunday?
Why don't you tell us?
Why, because you threw it over? outlook for Sunday, sunny and seasonable temperatures, highs in the 40s, or as Earl would say, temperature highs.
In the 40s.
And there are no warnings or advisories over Long Island waters at the present time. I told you about the time it came over that the forecast was partly cunny.
Yeah, that was interesting. What kind of a day was that, anyway?
It was a partly cunny day.
It was.
Yep.
We haven't had one of those for a few years, I think.
Nope. Well, my name's Mike Uhas, and...
Partly cloudy. That was a good one, too.
Really?
Yeah.
That came over at one point?
A couple of years ago, we had a partly cloudy day, and it was memorable. It really was. I'm waiting for another one, but it hasn't happened as of yet.
Uh-huh.
So, what have we lined up for the folks now?
I don't know. Some music that you put on the turntable. Wait a minute.
Some mutant pop or something like that.
No, wait a minute. When I say something, some music, that's, I guess, a very loose term.
Well, these days, anything that comes out on a disc is considered music.
Anything recommended by Eric Corley.
Well, this is fairly interesting material.
What it is.
Let's find out.
You want me to play it?
Why don't we do that, and that way we'll be more knowledgeable in the end.
Our data from the genetic research progress leads to the conclusion
The record skipping.
Our data from the genetic research programs leads to the conclusion that a small but growing percentage of the population is undergoing genetic changes. That may change the evolutionary trend of the human beings.
I am not a transvestite or a hermaphrodite. I am a transsexual or a bisexual. I'm a neutron. I'm all a human frame, I look quite the same as you do not see. The mutant within me.
Thank you.
well, as a sort of classical out, Beethoven's Sixth Symphony, or part of it at least.
A good part of it.
Some of it.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
I did too.
And if you enjoyed this program as much as we did...
Hey, if you've enjoyed this program half as much as we have, that means we've enjoyed it twice as much as you.
Correct.
Right. It's 4 minutes to 3 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday, and this is Radio Free Long Island, and soon it will have been Radio Free Long Island.
That's right.
A program that comes your way every Saturday morning, 12:02 a.m.
We ought to commandeer somebody else's spot and just come in and do a few hours of this crazy...
Well, we have the power to do that. We can just come in and sort of...
Especially since we are bigger than most people.
Right, we can stage a coup d'etat. And,
let's come in and coup d'etat with Robin Budd.
we'll talk about that. Radio Free Long Island, the program that will change your mind about a lot of things. We throw propaganda at people, and they gobble it up, as we've seen tonight.
Yeah, from the overwhelming response from our listener.
With blasting caps and things like that.
Right.
Well, Mike, it's been a real pleasure, and you're pointing frantically at something.
I should turn that other thing on.
Oh, I mean... Yeah, that?
Yeah.
Well, it's been real.
Yeah, man, yeah.
It's been real. Let's wake ourselves up and...
No, because I'm gonna go home and go to bed.
Sounds like a good idea to me. It's 2 minutes to 3 o'clock. Time for us to be heading out of here.
Well, if you did enjoy it, you can either give us a call now at 246-7901.
Or send us money. We accept both.
At State University of New York.
And we'll see you next week.
Bye.
So long.
WUSB, Stony Brook.
Long and lonely night, I cry my eyes out over you, wondering if I did right, and why you left me with a broken heart.
Thank you.